Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 16. And this morning we're moving on to verse 23. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. So I think we'll entitle this message, The Heart of the Wise. And as I said in my prayer this morning, it is always about the heart. And I cannot get over how much we seem to be drawn back to the heart, the heart, the heart. It is as though the writer of the Proverbs is saying, I do not want you to forget about the heart. Remember, this is the heart. So we're faced with this, with the main issue at hand, and that is the heart. Let's turn over for just a moment. Keep your finger here to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, 34. Matthew 34:5-6. We have Jesus speaking here to the Pharisees. And he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So here Jesus is talking to these Pharisees about their speech. And isn't that what we're looking at here? The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. So as we think about these words, and we think about the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, a man's character is his reputation with God. A man's character is his reputation with God. A man's reputation with men is his character estimated by men. It is said that words are the vehicles of thought. The words that we speak are the vehicles of thought. So when we think about this verse in Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth the things that you're going to speak, and addeth learning to the lips, and we think about our words being vehicles of our thoughts, we think, each one of us, we think in words. Now you may say, yeah, that's true. But you cannot think in any other terms. Try it. Try and think without words. Everything that you think is in words. May not be uttered, but it's all in words. We rehearse our thoughts, do we not? In words. Everything we think and do is done with words. And when you think of our thought process, what an engine that is, for good or for evil. hopefully for good. It's like steam. If steam is skillfully managed, it can do incredible things. But let it be mist that proceed out of our mouth. If our words are that are proceeding from the heart are managed well, they will be used for good. But if they're mismanaged, they will be used for evil. Our speech is the natural vent, just like there has to be a vent on for steam. If you've ever used a pressure cooker, and I'm sure that many of you ladies have used pressure cookers, there's that vent on the top for the steam. There has to be that vent to let that steam out of there. Well, our speech is the natural vent of the heart. The heart is going to have its expression. It's like that tree, that growing tree. I'm sure that you have all seen a tree that will make its way, no matter what. Whether there be a, if you've ever seen a concrete sidewalk, regardless how thick it may be, if there's a tree nearby, that tree with its roots will make its way. It will move that concrete. It will move a rock. A swelling river is the same way. It will move anything in its path. And so the heart will have its expression. The heart is going to get out whatever is in it. Nearest to the heart, nearest to the mouth. Our ideas are most forcibly impressed on the mind, and they will naturally take over our speech. Language is the sure index of one's character. And what follows is the heart is that character. It is the character of a good man that he has a good treasure in his heart. And from that brings forth good speech. I watched a little bit of a program that you may have seen 48 hours on Saturday evening. I enjoy watching that because it deals many times with a person that has done some evil, getting caught, and how they are able to do that. And this this woman began to speak. And by her words that she spoke, she revealed just immediately much of her character, which was very poor, very poor. While she was an attractive woman, as soon as she opened her mouth, she would have been better off not to have said anything than to have spoken. I never did get to finish the whole thing for going to sleep. But nonetheless, our words will reveal what we really are in our heart. Our ideas are impressed on the mind, and then they take over our speech. The Christian bears the image of God, that he is both good and does good. On the other hand, it is the character of the evil man that he has an evil treasure in his heart, and out of it brings forth evil things. Jesus is the good tree. Jesus' fruit is good because he is a good tree. He is the good tree. The Pharisee is the evil tree, and the Pharisee's fruit is going to be evil. As the tree is known by the fruit, so is the heart by our conversation. The kind of speech in a man shows the kind of action that you're going to get from that man. That doesn't take a genius to understand that. In the life of Jacob, Jacob could simulate the raiment of Esau, his brother, but he couldn't simulate his voice. And so the tongue must be cured in the heart. Those that start at the wrong end, who would try and reform the heart by reforming the tongue, are starting at the wrong end. It's all about the outward. And you've seen my example that I use up here of buttoning the wrong button. Once you get started wrong, once you button the wrong button in the jacket, it's going to be wrong from there on up. If you get started wrong, you're going to end wrong. And so those that would try and reform their heart by reforming their speech have it all backwards. The heart must be reformed, and when the heart is reformed, the speech will be reformed. Because our verse says, the heart teaches the mouth. It's not the mouth that teaches the heart. It's the heart. We're made up of, it's like when we're born, we are the heart. And then each of us receives this body that we have that clothes our heart. So the flesh is really nothing. We're all the heart. And we all have different flesh that surround our heart. But the main issue here is not this outward stuff. That's why it doesn't matter what we look like. It really doesn't matter. What matters is the heart, what's inside. Because that's what God is looking at. God is not the least bit concerned about our outward appearance, what our flesh looks like. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter if we're tall or if we're short or if we're wide or narrow. That all of that doesn't matter at all with God. The heart. John Owen says, you can knock down all the bitter fruit from a bad tree all day long, but nothing has been done with the root, and you will not stop the kind of fruit that is produced on that tree. If you've got bad fruit on the tree, by knocking all the fruit, all that bad fruit off the tree, you haven't changed the type of fruit that the tree is going to produce a bit, because the root has not been changed. He goes on to say, by our resolutions, they can only bring about a temporary cure to the speech. So in other words, by the things that you may resolve to do, that's only going to bring about a temporary cure over something in our speech. As long as the heart has not been dealt with, everything is going to be temporary from that place on. Because, again, one is started at the wrong end. So one may come in and one may say, today I'm just an unbeliever. I'm going to try. I've seen this Christian over here, and I've seen the way this Christian speaks. I'm going to try and speak the way he speaks. And so he begins to say similar words, or in a similar manner. But has he changed anything about himself? No. And so he's only going to do that for a short time. While the other person is a Christian, that is his lifestyle. Because he's been worked upon on the heart. He may have been that man that we talked about on Wednesday evening that had very hard speeches at one time in his life. But then when the Lord works in that life and gives that person life instead of death, he's changed that person entirely. And now his speech has been changed from the inside out. The other is it's only going to be temporary. He's only going to be able to keep pace for a short period of time. If a person is getting married and he's standing in the wedding ceremony and the questions are being asked of him, and he or she love this person that they're marrying. And the words that are being said are coming forth from the heart. If you take one away and you place another in that place and say, all you have to do is say these words, that's all they are. They're words. They have no meaning whatsoever. None. So to merely speak right is really nothing in the final result. The thing that we can never escape is the great distinction between the seeming and the real, or the distinction between facts that appear based upon our self-deceptions and the facts as they really are in the clear daylight of God's Word. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, we could actually begin here at verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. The sweetness of the lips. Verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. We looked at that. The wellspring of life. It's a wellspring springing up in you, and then it springs forth and it bubbles over into your speech. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. The heart teaches the mouth. And what does it do? It adds learning to your lips. Verse 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And we're going to look at this probably this evening. Pleasant words. So you have the sweetness of the lips, the wellspring of life, the heart of the wise teaching the mouth, adding learning to the lips, and pleasant words are as an honeycomb. It's a wellspring of life, regardless of how silently it may flow, it cannot be concealed. There's going to be weighty instruction pouring out to that instructed heart. And it shows the heavenly source, the source from which all of that wellspring flows. Is there anyone in here who doesn't know the difference between the man who speaks from something that he's merely read or heard and the one who speaks because he has felt it and personally tasted it? I said a few weeks ago that there was no way for you to adequately describe what honey tastes like. And I believe that Bridges is the one that made that statement. So you have on the one hand the man who is trying to describe what honey tastes like to the audience. But then you have someone come in who has tasted the honey. Do you think that he can now tell you what it tastes like more than this person who has only read about it, who has no idea what it tastes like? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The one has tasted of the knowledge of the gospel. And the one that has tasted of the knowledge of the gospel, that is merely dry and spiritless. The other has, as it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, the savor of his knowledge. And this is what I spoke about several months ago. We have to get from the paper onto the person. That's the difference. That is the literal difference right there. One speaking from the heart and one speaking only from the head. One knowing about Christ and one knowing Christ. See, when we give the missionary fellowships and we're looking at those that have long since passed, we're doing our best to describe that person that we're reading about. But if we had one that walked and talked with that person, who knew that person personally, see, they would be here and they wouldn't need any of this, because they would be speaking of that person really. They know that person really. And that's how we need to be in all that we do and in all that we say. The heart teaches our mouth. May it be that way with us, that our hearts would teach our mouth, and then our words are going to be entirely different at that point when that happens. And we're going to look a little bit more about this evening on verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Because those pleasant words are not going to be able to flow and flow freely unless the heart has taught the mouth. But when the heart has taught the mouth, it becomes easy. It becomes natural. It becomes natural and not unnatural. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to understand these things aright. I pray, Lord, that You would work in each one of our minds and our hearts, and that our heart would teach our lips, O Lord. For Jesus' sake,
Amen.